I'm Blair Sanderson.
And I'm Ken McIntosh.
And this is the Surf Fantasy Podcast.
You!
This is going to be good. Big section to work with now, jams it perfectly. The crowd getting behind Wilco as he's running into the inside. One more move. Late decision. He comes down with it.
Wilco.
He did it again.
Hit. He wins again.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, kind of.
It's starting to feel like it has a bit of destiny to it, I think.
Yeah, it's like a self... I know it's not quite a self-fulfilling prophecy, but something like that. Like that everybody's talking about his momentum, his mojo, something's clicked, whatever. The focus is on him, and I don't know, it just seems that it totally worked out for him.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe it. And it wasn't an easy road to the final. I mean, he had some close heats.
Right.
I mean, even that wiggly heat, you could look at that one. And, you know, talk destiny, I mean, that was a tight heat. It easily could have went Wiggly's way.
Yeah.
I mean, some people argue maybe it should have. But what I say about that is no one's ever won a world title without getting a couple of those calls.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. There's some luck involved. And yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
From a surf fantasy perspective, though, it was funny because during that heat, the Wiggly Wilco heat, I was a little sort of, you know, mixed feelings on who I wanted to win because I had both of those guys on my team.
I know,
right?
I was texting with you. I was telling you I was going against
Wiggly. And now
I realize
that I if Wiggly had won, I think I would have may have come out a lot better. I mean, if Wiggly had won the whole contest, that would have been huge for me.
Yeah, and when I got to that heat, I was hoping against Wiggly because I didn't have him on my team.
You,
so that was the differential.
Wilco. The only thing was, though, right, is that at that moment, I was thinking, well, do I want Wiggly to win? Because I don't know if he can pull off the whole event. And so if he doesn't, then I'm in big trouble because you need that winner, right? So another part of me was thinking, well, maybe I do want Wilco to win because at least then he's a better chance to win the whole thing, which is what you absolutely need to have, you know, a successful fantasy event. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I definitely follow you. I mean, really, though, when you think of the fact that a Goofy hasn't won that contest in so long, I don't think either of them were really the ones that anyone thought was going to win.
Well, and I think
it's
that we were texting, and you were saying, like, look, Wiggly's in form, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, he was surfing great. Yeah. I had totally written Wilco off in that heat.
Really?
Yeah, totally. I thought it was done, and I was so surprised when it came through. But
right.
Then after
was that the one? Because we were texting a little bit during this contest, because you wrote him off. Was that the time that you wrote him off?
Oh, yeah. I honestly thought it was over.
That's
like,
right.
I thought he was done in that heat. So
yeah. And then I texted you back and I was like, I think they might give it to him.
Yeah. And that's what it takes. And then from there, he was just off and running. I mean, and smashed the final. Like, the way he surfed that final was, it's the way a world champion, you know, surfs. Heat.
Open
like
your
he
account
came out,
with a huge score.
Big wave, quick backup wave. It's textbook.
Yeah.
And then he didn't do anything dumb afterwards. He just, really good contest.
Anyway, the thing is, for a little context for the listeners, both of us were riding real high and feeling pretty good about ourselves for most of this event.
Oh, yeah. I think in this event, I finished just around 300 overall for this contest.
That's amazing.
Oh, it's
overall.
Great. Yeah. I don't think I've ever
got
more than 1,000 points before.
Yeah.
Even the year I did relatively well, I don't think I broke 1,000.
Right. Because what did you have? I had 1,001.
I think I had like 1,027 or 1,000, something like
that. Amazing.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, is that, and then you still didn't win some of your clubhouses.
Oh, my God. I was so bummed out. I got to say, my biggest disappointment is the one that we actually bet on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have a little bit of money riding on the Surf Splendor podcast clubhouse. And I lost by 7 points. And what got me was the Julian Wilson heat. I didn't have Julian. The guy that beat me did. And
is that right?
That was the difference.
But Wilson didn't even do that well, but he did just well enough to beat whoever you had.
Yeah, I forget exactly who it was, but they finished one round earlier, and that was the difference. Even though I did better than him in the later rounds, it was that one difference that sunk me.
Well, here's my observation about that whole contest, because it started off great. I think both of us had 8 through after round 2. Like, so 8, like all of our surfers through into round 3.
Yep.
So you had all of your surfers through? Because I know I did. And I was looking, I think you might have too.
No, I lost.
Did you lose? You lose someone?
Yeah, I lost. Frig, I got to look
check
it up
it.
Here.
Because the thing is that, you know, you can't, like when you start on that level, you're feeling like, oh man, this is going to be a great contest. Like, it is hard to get 8 through. I've only done it a couple of times. And every time I have done it, I've done really well and won the different, you know, clubhouses that we're in. And, you know, then though, it started to occur to me that maybe having eight through isn't such a big deal after all, because I've got a list here of all of the people who were eliminated before round three. And really, a lot of these guys you would think are not going to be on people's teams. Like, it's one thing to have eight through and some big players in the game, you know, went down. But in this case, really, all of the sort of usual suspects who you would think would be on people's team went through. So I kind of felt like, oh, you know, maybe I'm actually even on even, not even footing, but I'm not creaming people the way that I might normally think I'm creaming people if I had all of them through. I don't know. I usually put huge stock in having eight through.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you get eight through, unless you have eight through and, you know, three heats of friendly fire, that it means you're going to get a good score.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean you're going to have an epic score.
Right.
A lot can go wrong.
This is what I mean. Yeah. If you have eight through and you have the winner at the end.
Yeah. Then you're pretty much know you're going to be above 800.
Yeah. But as it turns out, though, because, and the thing is you were doing something, I never do this, that you were checking where the rankings were during the
event. I know. Well, fantasysurfer.com, I mean, you got to give them a shout out. I've never seen them have the stats updated so quickly.
Yeah.
Like, I used to find it remarkable that they could do it that quickly after the end of an event, that they'd have the stats updated.
Right, like who won.
Yeah, and even that sometimes would take overnight, if I remember correctly. This time, at the end of every round, you could see where you were relative.
Even in between rounds.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, you know what I mean? Which, of course, doesn't represent what's, you know, but it gives you almost like real-time
stats.
Well,
and it was fun for the clubhouse, because it can give you a real relative sense within our smaller clubhouses, one of which I won, one of which I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, where you stand in relation to the other guys, and then you can start actually rooting against people, because you know that early that you need them to lose.
Well, you can see you could do that a little bit before just by seeing who was on everybody's team. Like, you can look at the other people's team, but then you weren't getting necessarily the score.
No,
but
it definitely added a new element to it for me.
Yeah, hats off to Fantasy Surfer for sure. The only thing is, though, is that with this counting your chickens before they're hatched business, like, at one point, I was thinking, like, Turtle Bay, you know what I mean? I was I'm serious. Like, I was thinking, like, who am I going to take? Like,
yeah.
I seriously thought
I was getting
I would
down
take
that
you.
Road. I was like, you. I went back to the main page and checked out what the prize pack was for the
that's
individual
right,
contest.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
Like, obviously,
I was like,
it wasn't
maybe
Turtle
get
Bay.
Some new trunks.
Did you actually figure out what it was? Because I have
oh,
no
yeah,
idea.
It's right on the main page. I think it was, Hurley.
Oh, yeah, it's
sponsored.
Like, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that
or no,
like
it wouldn't Hurley. Obviously,
like right
it's Rip Curl.
Yeah,
it was like board shorts. It was like a summer wetsuit.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, it was a good deal. And it was top three, actually, all got prizes.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, the thing is that obviously 57th is like not anywhere near there, but at that point too, I mean, like the separation in terms of points between, you know, 100 and 200, I mean, there aren't that many. So it just takes a little bit of this and a little bit of that and boom.
Yeah. But no, it was a great contest all around. I mean, I really enjoyed it because it was waves that I could relate to. I mean, especially in some of those earlier rounds, it's a type of wave that, you know, we sometimes get here. Not
totally.
As consistent, not necessarily as long of a ride, but that type of like, you know, right point that sort of jacks up and backs off and then, you know, pushing through to the inside section and really going for it all in that last section.
Yeah, a lot of waiting
section.
In between sections too, you know, and doing all that.
Yeah, so no, I really enjoyed it. And I thought, you know, still, I can't get over it. Like, hats off to Wilco. But I got to say, I was struck by it because I'm really paying, I think in the past, I paid a lot of attention to Wilco's shtick, but not necessarily as close attention as I now am to his actually surfing.
Yeah.
And I got to say, he does have a pretty wide stance. I mean, for someone that's argued in the past that, you know, the reason I am no fan of Adriano is because he has this crazy wide stance.
I didn't realize that it was that particular to the stance. I thought that it was like a wider commentary on the style.
It is a wider commentary on the style, like, but it all starts with that super wide stance. But, I mean, it's working for him. But I'm doing a bit of soul searching, wondering how can I love Wilco so much when he's claiming like a drunk monkey. I don't even know, like a crazy person claiming mid-wave claims.
Yeah,
like that's right out of the Brazilian playbook.
So let's get to
playbook.
The new segment. This is a new segment I think we should introduce. It's called Claim of the Contest. And check it out. We've even got a theme song. You've heard this before.
Oh boy, oh boy. Look at me. I just did a really cool trick. Can't you see? But just in case you didn't, let me claim it. Double shotgun. All I gotta do is point and aim it. Everyone should have the chance to feel famous. So throw your arms in the air, cause there's no shame in this. People been claiming since balsa boards. Telling me claiming's not cool, I'll tell you that's false, those words. Cause claiming is the new cool. And if you're not claiming every wave, you're looking like a fool.
There you go. If you're not claiming every wave, you're looking like a fool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's, and you know what? truer words cannot be spoken because the claim is so important now, I think, to the whole thing.
I mean, I think claims are important. I just actually maybe I don't not think important. Claims important, are important. Isn't right. Yeah,
Listen, okay, because we got to talk about this.
I think there's nothing cooler than a very well-surfed wave and no claim. Right. And obviously that's the no claim, and that's my favorite claim.
Yeah.
But there's something about that it's just a little stylish. Yeah. I like it.
It's funny. The no claim is hilarious because what we're saying is that, you know, a surfer just knows when they've done something really awesome. And if they're not claiming, you know that they're actually having to sort of make like an effort not to claim. Like, I suppose if you never claim, maybe it would come naturally not to claim, but it feels like if you do something super awesome and you don't claim it, like you got to work to keep those hands down.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I mean, to their credit, I think Wilco's claims, while they were a tad over the top, I mean, they were coming from the right place. He wasn't doing the begging claim. That's how I describe it. Those are the claims I don't like, where people know they don't have the score, and it's like they're trying to pull a fast one on the judges and the audience.
I have managed to divide claims into three categories that I think will be picked up by the rest of the surf world from here
lay it on
in. Right, there are three categories of surf claim. The first is the claim that you can't even resist doing, like that it's what's that when you're not trying to do something, it's
spontaneous,
and you know that you're just uninhibited and you're just like, yeah, it was amazing, right? Like you can't stop yourself from doing it, just perfect claim. And I've, you know, those ones are great. The other claim is the claim that you got the score. Now, not the begging for the score claim, but there's a claim where the guy does kind of just this, like, sort of puts his fist like this and does a little hammer down like that.
Yeah, like he knows he got it.
He got the score.
I didn't fuck that up claim.
Yeah, exactly, right? So that wouldn't be one, and this was talked about, I think, about a little in the contest as well. That wouldn't be something that you would do in a free surf, but because it matters that you got the score, you can see that you go like, yeah. So I'm not saying that that one isn't also spontaneous, but to me,
I think those are the type of claims that Wilco was doing.
Yeah.
Especially on those waves, because those waves are so easy. I mean, it was one of the things that was said, I mean, by the commentary team, and that when a lot of people were being very tentative on that lip, like almost they were just teasing the lip, almost a little scared. And he was drawing some interesting lines, like drifting across it, you know, going right through it. And he wasn't scared of the lip. So I think knowing within himself how wrong that could have went, I think that's what happened in that mid wave claim. Because
so
I don't even think he
risks,
knew he was going to. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and then the other claim is the begging for the score claim. So those are the three claims. You take, you know, there's no other claim than that, right? Those are the three.
Yeah, I think those, I don't know. There's the...
Is it more claims?
I think the other claim is the I'm too cool to claim. And I don't think that's done for any other purpose than to sort of denigrate the people that do claim. And I think if you needed to brand it, you could call it the Kelly Slater claim, also known as the nose clearing claim. There's no way that Kelly Slater needs to blow his nose after every good wave he gets. Yet you can
go back. Is he not blowing his nose on like average waves then? Like, does he only blow his nose after?
It is much more pronounced after he surfs a particularly good wave. And I think it's meant to signal that, you know, I'm just worried about my own personal hygiene. I don't know what it's meant, but people talk about it. It's definitely the nose claim.
I've never heard that before.
Go back through the heats and you'll see it.
All right.
And that's a different claim. And that's almost like the no claim, a claim meant to denigrate those that claim.
I'm just trying to think of where the no claim would fit into my category of three. Because you're right. It's not a bag.
No.
And it's not...
I think it's the fourth category. Because that's also the John. Like, John never claims.
Yeah,
and that's because he knows it's not cool.
Anyway.
And so by not claiming, he's saying everyone that does claim is a loser.
By the way, just with the Wilco thing, because I know that I was kind of being mean to Wilco in the last podcast, you know, that I don't like backside surfing.
Yeah.
It's still not my favorite for sure. But I did warm up to, you know, obviously because now he's on my team, I warmed up to it maybe a little easier that way. But yeah, I thought he does have a little style. Who I don't like is Nat Young. That he does this, like, his arm is like a chicken wing. Like, it's always just out, you know what I mean? Like, the forearm is down to the water, and it just looks like a chicken wing, like a crooked arm. Like, the elbow's right there. And he just holds it. Like, it's like a rudder behind
him
as he's going
along. It doesn't
seem
as natural. I mean, I think it's a sign of someone that's been perhaps, if you could say, overcoached. Like, he's a very technical surfer.
Yeah.
But I think he's very conscious in his mind of, my arm's supposed to be here, and I'm going to use that as a point to swing around. but he's not flowing with it. Like, I think he's thinking technique more than style.
That's right.
When
like,
it comes
there's some a reason to do that, to improve your surfing.
I don't know that you should be as quick to back down of your criticism as the goofies as you
are, like,
though.
I just don't like goofy-footed surfing as much.
But,
that's
I mean,
all.
It was one of the things I wanted to get to, too, is Barton Lynch, who was in the booth.
Yeah.
And I thought he did a great job, and so he made a really good point about that. He basically called out all the goofies at one point, saying that while he was arguing that surfers on their forehand over the last, you know, 15, 20 years have made, you know, incredible progress in the types of lines they're drawing on the wave and the types of turns they're doing. And he's comparing that to the goofies. He was arguing that there's really not been very much development.
Well, it does make you wonder, I mean, why is it that you can't do certain things on your backhand that you can do on your forehand? Like, I guess it's harder, but it shouldn't be impossible. It feels to me that anything that you do on your forehand, you can do on your backhand.
Yeah, and I think actually Wilco's, I think there's, I forget exactly what heat it was, but there was one wave where he came up and did this long drifting floater and actually like covered a substantial amount of ground in this sort of sideways, almost like a rail slide type maneuver. That was it's a turn. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen anything on a wave that big covering that much ground on your backhand. So I think he's trying to draw different lines. And even in an interview, he acknowledged that, you know, given that the criteria is rewarding variety, that he's been making a conscious effort to try to work on different sorts of backup turns so he can sort of show that variety to the judges.
You know who I sometimes forget is a goofy is Medina, actually. Like, there are heats where he does just do that same hack over and over, but there are other times when he feels like he's as dynamic as anybody on the forehand.
Oh, yeah. And I think, too, when it comes to the type of wave that lends itself to airs, I think the goofies have been getting creative. And I think some of the best airs.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And some of the airs that have got the best
scores. Well, they can do the air reverse like nobody's business, right?
Yeah. But they can also, I mean,
you know,
trying
what they
to
can't
do a
do
big...
is the alley-oop, right? They can't really do that one.
I don't think that's true. I mean, I think you could almost argue that a backside alley-oop.
How would you do it on your backhand, though?
We'd just come up and keep going around.
That would look good. That would be harder because you can't spot the landing, right? That's the thing with the alley-oop is that, you know what I mean? You spot that landing all the way. That would look sick. Yeah. I mean, to be honest,
I don't think either of us should really be talking about the finer points of aerial surfing.
I think it's everything's fair game. Do you surf better when contests are going?
I don't know, man. I felt really good yesterday. I had some fun waves yesterday. And I think I was a little jazzed up. I think I surf better, too, when you see a big contest. Like, you can't watch, you know, Chopu, for example, and people surviving that and then go out and be scared of a head-high point break.
Exactly.
Where after a summer of surfing knee-high slop, I get that first hurricane swell. Yeah. And it's like, I feel like I'm going to drown if I, like, you know, but... So yeah, I think it adds something to it. It definitely gets me excited to surf.
Yeah. You know, one of the things too that I like about, you know, it always surprises me when I'm out in the lineup and people aren't watching the contest. It's like, you surf, like we're out, it's cold. I mean, you make an effort to come out here. You must love this sport. And yet you're not watching like what's basically like the World Series of surfing right now. It's so confusing to me. I mean, I get it, right? That it's a lifestyle and some people just want to do it for themselves. But I do find, like, the thing too that I find that I like about competitive surfing is that I see the moments in between the waves, you know, and you just don't see that in surf clips and surf porn, you know, like I like seeing the guy maneuver to get to the right takeoff spot. Like you would never see that in a clip video.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I learn a ton from it, but it makes me understand, you know, the, you know, surfing better.
Oh yeah. And it definitely, the other thing, I mean, you don't see in surf videos, you often don't see the paddle into the wave.
Right.
So to learn
you don't see the takeoff. You don't see anything.
Exactly. And you can learn a lot from watching those takeoffs, especially when, like this contest, you know, it's waves we can relate to. But I got one more thing to say about Wilco, and I think we should move on to some of the other surfers. And then we got to talk Margaret, like,
I know.
Margaret River, too. So much on the go. I'll be happy when we get through this Australia leg. It's been,
I know,
like,
there are two, the contests are too close.
It's just coming at me too fast, man. I got a lot
on
the
go. Like the time in between contests in some cases is approaching the same amount of time that they take off, like, in the middle of a contest.
Oh, like the NFL gets more time off between, if this starts in the first couple of days, and I'll get to that later. It looks like it might. I mean, yeah, it's quicker than, you know, NFL turnaround from Sunday to Sunday.
Wilco comment,
Stab Magazine. Via, I think it might have been a surfing mag photographer, posted the bar bill from the party after the Wilco won. It's not even the complete bill, but I'll drop a couple numbers on you here. The best number being 142 shots of vodka that came to a whopping $1,136. I don't know. I've never had Fat Yak schooner, but 37 of those were ordered at a cost of 333.
Oh, we got to get some fat yak.
Yeah, another 42 schooners. We have schooner in Nova Scotia, but I think these are different schooners. Another 42 beer there for $315. I mean, it goes on and on. And it's not even the full bill, but I mean, what's
any
in front
food,
of me added up to
on
about
the bill?
No food. 70 shots of tequila though. That was nice. $630. And this isn't even the whole bill. It adds up to like what they were able to in the photo. I think it adds up to about $4,000. So it's nice to see that Wilco, despite his success, isn't leaving, you know, everything behind that sort of got him to where he is.
That's
now.
That's right. You know, you don't want to change everything that you've been doing in the past that got you up to that point.
Yeah.
Including the drinking, I guess.
So I'm glad they had a good time.
The thing is, we don't know who was drinking what, though. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I'm sure he didn't
drink all of them. Is it like his bill? Like, he's like, drinks on me?
Oh,
is
yeah.
that what that is?
I mean, I think it's generally accepted the winner is paying the tab.
Really? It's like a hole in one.
Another interesting thing I read in the post-surf coverage that was in the immediate aftermath. So as Wilco's on the stage and, you know, we're listening to that traditional Aboriginal folks, the guy, did you see that too? That
no,
little
man.
Kid in the middle
you
had no idea what
ceremony?
He was doing. Yes. Anyway, what this article said is Micro Hall sort of sneaks off to the side, calls his wife and says, yeah, I'm not going to be home for 2 days.
Nice. 2 days.
Because, I mean, that's what happened. When you've got Wilco back-to-back wins and you're the super coach, I mean,
it's
you
true.
Know,
yeah. Like, that's the
you're
thing.
Going to the casino.
They did. They cut away to shots of those two talking. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you got to think that he was feeling like, yeah, man, I'm on the winning side of.
I'm coming around to the Micro Hall thing. I think he did a good job. I mean, Wilco gives him a lot of credit. He talks about, I mean, the way Wilco put it in his interview is that, you know, all the dumb things he would do in the past that would ruin his heat to make him lose.
Yeah.
That Micro Hall's anticipating this ahead of time and just and sort of putting in his mind, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do that. I mean, he didn't get into specifics. I don't know if he's trying to keep his secrets, but
yeah.
You know, he's being conscious of things that he wasn't conscious of in the past.
That's right. You got to think about what you're going to do. That's true. You don't just paddle out without a plan. You know, and actually that's the way you improve surfing too. You know what I mean? Like that you have to think to yourself, I mean, I don't know how many times surfing is so weird that way though. Like I'll be paddling out back into the lineup and say to myself, okay, don't stand up right off the pop, like stay low right away. And then as soon as I'm paddling into the wave, I totally forget, you know, like, and then when I get off the wave, I'm like, oh yeah, I completely forgot to do the thing that I was reminding myself to do just 5 minutes ago. Like I find that once that wave starts coming, it's really hard to remember the things that you're trying to work on, but that's what I mean. That's what I'm always trying to do now. Is like,
So what do you think of the? What do you think of Jordy? You had Jordy on your team.
No, guy.
Oh, you didn't.
No,
I had Jordy.
Man, no.
Oh yeah, because I went Jordy and you went Wiggly.
Yeah, we switched because I had Jordy last time and was just so disappointed.
Yeah. No, I took him this time and I thought he surfed really well. I mean, I was surprised he didn't perform better in that last heat, but you know, when you get behind the eight ball like that with a nine right off the bat, it sort of it changes everything.
Hard.
It happened in a couple earlier heats too, where I thought the judges set the scale almost too high. I mean, it happened in the McFanning heat too, where he got a nine right off the bat. And when you're, you know, when you're up against like a 9-4.
Yeah. The only thing is in the final, the judges want to give a 10. You know what I mean? Like the thing is that your competitor has a 9-4 and you're in the final, go get that 10. Cause that's when it's going to happen. Right. Like, but I agree. I really love Jordy's style too. Like he's probably one of my favorite surfers just in terms of style. But I don't know. I still don't think that his head's in the game fully. Like I can see him completely dropping off. I mean, that's the question. Obviously, Margaret River coming up next. You're going to keep him on then? I suppose you will, eh?
I think I will keep Jordy on. I mean, should we jump right in? Should we do the whole what we had and where we're going?
I know, because the thing is, it's an abbreviated podcast because we both have stuff to do. But I want to I needed to wrap up the claim section.
Oh,
I didn't know we were done
the claim.
That's all right.
All right.
So just wrapping it up, to me, the claim was Connor Coffin giving the FU claim to the judges. Did you see that? That was during, I think, the McFanning heat. It was like right at the end.
Yeah.
And he pops off and just gives not the finger, but the full arm.
Yeah,
I don't know what
full
you would
arm.
Call that.
I was thinking that too. I was like, debating
what?
In my head when
is
it
that
happened
good?
How offensive that is. But I mean, for me, it was almost like going back to like, I don't know if it's because he's from LA. And I think back to like, I was huge into gangster rap when I was young. And it's almost like the fuck the world claim. I mean, you got this guy riding so high, killing it out there.
Yeah.
And
he was like ranked number one going into the event or something like that.
Oh, he's surfing so good. And him for a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, for a rookie to surf the way he surfed.
Anyway.
I mean, he was surfing so powerful, but just he wasn't making rookie mistakes.
Right. So
I
what
mean,
is that claim? So what was he doing though?
I mean, I always thought it was just up yours when
up
people
yours
did that.
To the judges? Because it's not like the judges were doing
but that's
anything
the thing.
To him.
I don't
he
think it could have been directed to the judges.
Then.
I think it was just directed
but he
to
of,
the...
But it was to the at least to the camera. Do you know what I mean? Like he turned
I think
right
it was to the whole world,
to the whole
man.
World, through the camera, to the whole world.
Yeah, I just...
And,
I,
you know, and the
it
judges
still doesn't
did,
make
the,
sense.
And not the judges, the commentators didn't say anything about it.
Oh, the commentators. Don't even get me started,
what,
man.
Like, I was like, if I was a commentator, at the very least, I would have said... I have an interesting claim at the end. I mean, you know what I mean? You can mention it without drawing too much attention to it, but just to gloss over it entirely. But do you think that, because the thing is that there was a chance, like when, I don't think that he really deserved to win that heat, but you know, that act, that move that he did at the end, it was that kind of like that carve down and then right back up into like, it was like a two move, which I really love those like quickly connected moves. It was sweet. Nothing much more on the front, though, of the wave, like the beginning of the wave. But anyway, it almost feels like that's going to shoot you in the foot. Like, if you want to ingratiate yourself to the judges, don't do that. Like, unless they really like it. Like, maybe it's reverse psychology. Like, is he negging the judges?
I know what you mean by negging, but maybe. I think if he had put up the finger, it's a different thing. I think that is almost just like saying, I left it all out here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's nothing more I could do. I mean, Andy Irons used to do similar sorts of things, just showing, you know, he's so into it and he just wants to, you know, he just wants to kill it.
Have you seen, and I feel like I've seen Gabe Medina grab his balls. Have you seen that
before? Oh, yeah. Gabe, he's done like the two-handed, like monkey ball grab for sure. And that's just weird, man. Like, that's getting too creative with the claims in my mind.
All right. So it's a fruitful segment. We're going to keep that in. Let's see.
Yeah,
if we can
no,
do
and it'll be good.
Like
now that.
That
I know, I'll keep a good eye out for that. But, and you know what? Just to your point that Connor could have won, and Connor's definitely on my team. If we want to start talking Margies, he's going nowhere. I mean, I'd be surprised if I got him off my team at all.
He's a very popular. I think he's like getting picked at like 50%.
Yeah. Well, maybe that'll change my mind if his stock keeps rising in that regard.
Yeah.
But I just got to say, I mean, I think if Mick, and it goes back to that, I mean, I'm repeating myself to that point. I think if Mick hadn't got that 9-4 off the top and had been given a more reasonable score, I think that heat was closer than it ended up being. But good on Mick, too.
Actually, so Connor Coffin stayed flat. He was actually at 41% for the contest and then dropped 1% to 40%.
Well, that brings up the other thing. Like, it's so hard to pick a team now. It used to be hard because you didn't have enough money to spend.
I know. And now it has nothing to do with it. I know.
It's like I'm making teams and leaving like $1.5 million on the table.
Did you leave $1.5 million on the table?
Right now, yeah.
That's what you got going on?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And I mean, I just don't. And there's people I don't want to take. Like, I'm not going to take Kai Otten or like over Connor just because he's valued at like, you know, 500 or 1,000 more. You know, I'm not going to take Ace ever just because he's valued at more than, you know, a Kyle Belly. I mean, it just...
Yeah, that's the
thing.
There's
so
like,
much options.
Yeah. So the temptation, too, is that when you have that money left over, that you might... You kind of feel the need to spend it.
Yeah.
So you might, like,
I'm
get rid of
that.
A 6 or an 8 and put in, like, a 12 or who knows what they're all with now. Yeah, interesting, too. Like, just a few observations that I always find interesting about these, the number in terms of percentage pickup. Italo Ferreira, he went down from 14% to 11%.
Really?
So there's a guy that's like, you know, in the quarterfinal. Or is it the same? He was in the semifinal,
right? Oh, he
11%
was good.
Had
and,
him.
He, and you had him, right?
Yeah, I had him.
Yeah, he did really well for
thing.
You.
He could have won, too. That's the thing. If Wiggly or Italo had won, I'd be going, you know.
Oh, you'd be. And that would have been
high.
A big differential.
Totally.
Yeah.
Bummer. Another really interesting.
Are you going to keep it low for Margies?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, so I know. I mean, that's the thing. What I've done so far is like basically decided who I am going to keep.
Yeah.
And then I'm kind of on the fence about. I'm on the fence with Wiggly and Italo, right? Because the whole thing, because they're both backhanders.
Yeah.
And you know that I started watching a little bit of the box, like that's where it opened, right? And like watching John last year, and right away the commentators are like, "Ooh, the box is really hard for backhanders," you know.
Yeah.
Even though the top scores, like I think like one of the only tens that came out of that last event was from a backhander last year,
because it was
recall.
So unlikely.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. So maybe a backhander can pull off a miracle and get the dream score once in a while, but is it enough to really win the contest? I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a drag to have to get rid of those guys. Like, I don't know. That's another little beef.
I'm contemplating some. Okay. Well,
major
you go ahead with your beef.
Okay. Well, my beef is that it feels to me like it's, there's no reward. Like, so I picked what, it, at least in the eyes of the other players, a dark horse, Idolo, right? Only 11 people picked him, so his value is going to go way up. But now this contest, like, it feels like I'm justified in dropping him, maybe just because of this backhand thing, so I don't have to make that choice. But then if I want to go pick him up again in the next contest, I have to pay the full price. I feel like I should be able to save that credit.
Like, return on your investment.
Yeah, so not the same, because I know that we've talked about this too, right? Like, we kind of agreed that this idea that if you could sell your guy to someone else, you know, and that you were accumulating money, that it, after a whole year, it would become very lopsided.
Yeah.
But it feels to me like if you were to just hold on to the value and be able to return. So even if Idolo goes up, so supposing he's 8 million now, I lose him, he goes up to 9 million.
Yeah.
I still only need to add a million to the buy rather than whatever I would have lost. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I see what you're saying, but what I think is, what I like about it being the way it is that it is going to force you to make tough decisions and not hold on to people and not live in the past.
That's right.
Because this is where I'm going. I think I might drop Wilco for the next contest.
Yeah.
Coming off two straight because he's goofy.
And that party, right? Like, he's toast.
Oh, yeah. I don't think. I think he has to.
But you're
right.
Like,
I think he'd
true.
Be
like,
in more trouble if he stopped
twice,
going
can
out.
It strike three times.
I mean, he doesn't have a good
really,
track record
yeah,
there, right?
Yeah.
But let me drop some
you know
knowledge
what, that's
on
why,
you.
That's why I didn't pick Stu Kennedy, by the way. It was, I was kind of like, you know, there was something about everything came together. And interestingly, by the way, Stu Kennedy went from 10% on the first contest to 55%.
Really? That
you know
has
what I mean?
To be the biggest jump.
That's crazy.
That was my biggest mistake.
Because I think most people are like, who's Stu Kennedy? They're like, that guy's on my team.
Yeah. No, the biggest mistake I made in that last contest was going, I had Mason Ho, and I went with my mind
and you went with
instead
Stu
of
Kennedy.
My heart, and I switched it at the last second.
Did you?
And to get back to that earlier point, that's why I didn't have eight all the way through, because it was Stu Kennedy that
he
lost
did,
out in round two. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
And if I had had Mason, I would have had all eight through.
I
probably would have won.
I'm
going to
put Mason
Splendor
on my team at any contest Mason's on.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough, though, because coming up to this contest, they haven't announced the wild cards yet, but I mean, Jay Davies, local boy, did really well there last year.
But we know, is he back?
I don't know if he's back, but if he is, he'll be a 1500. That'll be tempting.
Because that's funny, because I was looking at Wiggly and Jay Davies knocked out. I think Jay Davies knocked out Idolo. And so I was even looking at that last year, and I was like, well, Jay Davies was on a tear, so maybe I will keep Idolo.
Yeah.
But then if Jay Davies is back.
And the other one, because they got to replace Mick too, right? So we still have two wild cards and Mick's replacement, which I think will come from someone that just didn't quite qualify. But Jack Robinson.
Yeah.
So this kid, and this is where I got to get into this, because this is quickly becoming one of my favorite sources of information, surfstats.com.
Yeah.
I mentioned in the last cast, now they're doing this thing where they're actually interviewing a local before each contest about what they've been seeing around the event area, what they think the swell, what they think the forecast is going to end up being.
Really?
Yeah, so they just put up an interview with a local guy, Jack McCauley. I never heard of him, but he comes from like a long line of Western Australian surfers. His father was two-time runner-up world champ. I mean, he has a serious pedigree when it comes to the west coast of Australia. And he's saying a few things. He's saying immediately when they lost, both John and Adriano have been at Margaret's River. They didn't go south to get warm. They didn't go to the Gold Coast.
Yeah, this is last year.
No, this is this year. This is what I'm talking, like right now. So they lost out at Bell's.
Yeah.
They went immediately
to
Margaret River.
Oh, they didn't stick around to
watch the end of the comp. No, and they didn't.
Who did this? Adriano
D'Souza and John Florence.
Oh.
And they've both been surfing main break every day.
That's funny because they were the finalists last year.
They were the finalists last year. And also, the other bit of knowledge this guy's dropping is that he thinks it'll start at the box. So he thinks,
like
looking at what he's saying this year, is that he's looking at a couple days of the box.
Right.
Now, the box is so fickle.
The Felipe's or whoever.
Yeah, and it's so tide dependent, though. It might only mean one round, right?
Yeah.
So it's so hard to judge. Like, if you could be sure they'd get through two rounds, then you'd get rid of the goofies altogether. It wouldn't be a question.
But that's the thing, because if the, one or two rounds at the box makes a huge difference.
Yeah, but if it's only one round at the box, he thinks the whole rest of the contest, he's not even mentioning North Point in the conversation. He says the whole rest of the conference is probably going to be main break. Right. So that means you definitely want a guy like Adriano, who could probably squeak through at the box.
That is tricky.
Yeah.
One or two at the box, right?
Yeah, but if it's two at the box, Wilco's gone. There's no way.
You don't think that Wilco can handle that box?
No, man. I think it's just such a tricky slab. Like, there's no other wave like it on tour.
Yeah.
Like,
it's so cool.
Chopu
I love
is
watching
a
it.
Big barrel.
Yeah.
But you get into it in a traditional way from the shoulder, and it's coming from behind you. The box, to get a big score at the box, you got to backdoor it. So you got to drop in. I mean, you know what a backdoor means, but on the other side of the peak and come through it and get spit out.
So why is that harder for a goofy fitter to do that?
Because what's harder for a goofy is to get in early enough and then stall. Like, they just don't have as much control on their backhand. So what happens with a goofy foot is they either end up going over the falls, or they go too quick and go too far out.
Right.
Like, it's harder on their backside to sort of control the speed.
Right.
So it's like you got to come in so fast to make it through.
Yeah.
But the guys that are getting the big stores are coming from the back and then stalling out inside it.
Yeah.
You know, John famously with the two-hand stall on his forehand.
But I thought that's the thing. I thought that the goofies are great at wiping off speed because they put their butt in the wave.
But the whole butt in the wave thing doesn't work here. It doesn't work here. You stick your butt in there, square. You're going over the falls. Yeah. It's a different wave, man.
You just got to put like one cheek in.
Maybe. I don't know. You got to stick something in there. But I really don't know. And even as I talk about this, like, I was adamant coming in here that I was going to make the tough decision. And I was going to get rid of...
Were you going to do it here now?
Oh, I've already done it on my team. Okay. I was going to get rid of Wilco, and I was going to pick up Adriano. But now I don't know.
Well, I'm definitely going to keep Adriano just because no one ever picks him, and he's always likely to do pretty well, I feel. So actually, it'd be interesting to see how many people picked up Adriano this time, because he did well at... He did do well at the first comp, right? And then it was at this one.
Yeah, I mean, he had a medium score at the first comp. Yeah. I mean, like upper range, and then bad, really bad at the last one. So he's going to be hungry. And a hungry Adriano, that means trouble.
So I guess the thing to keep in mind then is just watch the forecast, and if it looks like it's like closer to the event, if it's a big swell that looks like it's going to be on tap for a little while. Yeah.
But even then, do you go John? Because that's the thing. Like, I want to go John because he's so successful at the box. But, you know,
but then everybody has.
If 70% of the people had him last time,
how many people had
John
in the last contest? 80%.
It's already at 80.
Yeah, so it went from 70 to 80.
After he loses.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, the first comp he didn't do too badly, you know? And then, because then there was all this coach talk, right? We were talking about it too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. So who knows where John will go, but I would imagine that he will stay at the 80, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, just to go back to the, we've been talking about, I guess, all the time, but Bells, here's a clip from Taj Burrow talking about why he lost.
Having a kid and like I said, everything moving so fast, like changing nappies, trying to find the right time to eat and trying to find time to sleep. And then all of a sudden you got to paddle out for a heat. I really take my hat off to the parents or the dads that have done it in the past and even won world titles and stuff. It's hard work. I understand now. It's a real reality check. So I feel like I just need a little breather for sure. Everything's moving a bit quick for me.
Yeah, there you go. I don't think I've ever heard a professional athlete throw his family under the bus.
I know, man. He's keeping it real. I'll give him that.
What is that?
You know, I can relate to it, man. Like, it is hard. Like, we both have kids. I got a 2-year-old at home. I mean, I know you got
two
a couple.
And five.
Yeah.
No,
and it's.
No, 3 to 5. Sorry.
I mean, I got a 9 to 5 job. It's all I can do to balance that. I mean, balancing surfing.
Think, yeah, it's weird. Like,
surfing's harder though, because surfing's. I mean, these guys are traveling a lot, but it's also like I'll use this as an example. Yesterday, for example, waves are pretty good around here. My wife was working all morning, but I knew at 3 o'clock I'm getting in.
Yeah,
and that's going to be good. The swell was supposed to peak. You know, the wind was supposed to go offshore. I thought I had it all figured out. Yeah, this was yesterday. Yeah. The forecast was looking good.
I probably went in at 3 yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I got there. She ran a little late. No fault of her own. I got in around 4. My first wave, head high, glassy. As I kick out, the wind kicks up. And it blew 10 minutes. It's a freaking snowstorm 10 minutes later with white caps coming across the face. But what I'm saying is that if you had no family, you'd surf when you wanted.
And you'd have yourself
to blame. You would have rocked up a little early.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And you'd be able to wait a little longer. But when you can only surf, when you're arranging surfing around so many other things, and that's fine. I'm not complaining. I mean, I'm not... You know, I'm happy with my life and my family, obviously. But when you're trying to work such a fickle sport around other demands, even as like us,
it's true
because
they don't know when he's going to go on. Even that whole waiting period is a big guessing game.
And you know, you have it in your mind. Like, I've had days where it's like I'm out surfing and it's like, you know, I should go get home. Like, I know, you know, your wife needs some help, or you know, she has stuff to do too, or you know, you got housework to do.
Takes your head out of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Like, there's a reason the 11-time world champ, I mean, I don't even want to go down that road.
Yeah. But well, yeah. Well, what's funny too, though, is because when I...
Kelly Slater had his kid at one contest in his whole career, I think.
Because Taj was saying, like, in whatever, like in the between the seasons, that there was an interview with him, and he's like, no, man, this is the year. Like, I've got a kid. I'm looking up to the other greats that managed to win world titles with their first child, like, soon after. I have no idea who those people are, by the way. But anyway, I just remember even thinking at the time, I was like, yeah, maybe there are a couple people who won, like, a contest with a kid, but I would imagine that the vast majority didn't. So he's focusing, like, he's naming a couple, but I'm like, you know what, I bet a lot of them did not win events at all with, like, that first day. Anyway, just the
and
way
a lot of them
talking,
just never so had kids. I mean, you know, if you go back through the world champs, like, not every world champ was a family man. That's
I wonder
for sure.
too, though, is that the other thing is that because surfing is fun, like, I could see that it might be hard, like, because you're supposed to train all the time, right? So if you tell your wife and leaving your kid with your wife, you know, well, I got to go surf now. Like, this is my job. That I think that, you know, the other half of you, that your partner would be like, you just want to go surfing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You would start thinking,
you can't
like,
help but wonder.
Yeah.
But I'll give him credit for keeping it real. I got to do that.
No, that was a terrible move, man. Oh my God. I can't believe that. Like, the thing is, he didn't blame his wife or anything like that. But, you know, you're just saying the stuff about, like, oh, the nappies. Like, the thing is, he was in, like, really good spirits, too. But he was also, he continually ranks pretty high in terms of people picking him. Like,
yeah. I mean, for a lot of people, I think it's a popularity contest. And people just, it's name
never
recognition.
Had the urge. Never had
especially
the urge.
In a year like this where you have people, it goes back to the numbers game, too. I mean, because he still has a relatively high value.
Yeah.
So you have people that,
yeah, he
are
seems
just
to
thinking,
just
well,
mid-perform.
I got, you know, 6,000 to work with. Like, am I really going to pick someone that's 3,000 and leave 3 on the table? It's hard. Or 3 million.
It's true. It's true.
Whatever.
Yeah, million guy. But I don't know, because he's one of those guys, like, you know, when you're, because my philosophy that we're talking about last time, look at your team and honestly ask yourself how many of these people could win the event. And I just don't put Taj Burrow in that category. And I think that's partly why I never put him on my team.
Yeah. Do you have any habits of peak performers this week?
No,
for us?
Man, I don't have anything on the segment. You know, the thing, the habits of high achievers segment is difficult to do when there's no sort of, there's only two contests. Like, I can tell you what the habits of the high achievers are, actually, Ken. You want to know what it is? They have all the best surfers that did the best in the contest on their team. That's their habit. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Like, there's nothing, I can't read the tea leaves, you know? I mean, I was thinking about, it's hard to, the one, I love the Surf Fantasy or the Fantasy Surfer website, but one thing that's hard to do is it's not searchable. Like, I would love to be able to, like, for instance, track down who won the whole thing last year and find out how he's doing this year. You know what I mean? Like, and it's difficult to do. You basically have to open each page, and then you can search each page in terms of, like, the results, but there's only, like, I don't know.
Oh, like if it was all in just, like, one big spreadsheet.
Yeah, then I could search for it, you know what I mean? Or, yeah, and so it's really difficult to do that. So I have no idea how. And the other thing, too, is I wonder if
Adriano won this year. He's...
No, but I'm talking about, like, the players, the fantasy surf players.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know what I mean?
Thought you meant
surfers.
Yeah.
No, I see
what you're
saying. The players, right? So I can't compare, like, where they are, because that's one thing that I would do, right, is I would look, like, supposing that the guy who won the whole thing last year maybe didn't do very well in the first contest, I might still look to see who that guy's picking, just to be like, well, that guy obviously knows something, because, you know, he won the whole thing last year, maybe he didn't do really well at that last contest, but for some reason he had Michelle Berez on his team, and so maybe I should take a closer look at that guy.
Yeah, so not necessarily replicating his picks from the year before.
No, like just seeing what he's doing
but
this year.
Looking at the strategy
right?
of it.
What
and
he's
then
doing.
Looking at the previous contest, because obviously you can't see his team
yeah,
until
that's
the trading
right.
closes.
So but you know what I mean? But forever, anyway, but the thing is I can't find him.
Yeah.
His name is like, his name is Blanky or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Or, I don't know, a couple of the guys. Yeah, no, I haven't been able to find any of them. I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, I'll search for through the first, like, 10 pages.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, well, I don't know. And then maybe he did. Like, maybe he changed his name. Because I could see if he won the whole thing, you might not want the scrutiny. So you might change your handle just to, like, fly under the radar.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's true.
Couldn't find the guy. But it does, I've said the name Michelle Berez twice. What's the deal with him? Like, he did well last year at Margaret River.
Yeah.
And he performed well just now at Bell's. And, like, he's at, like, a 25% pickup rate.
I was surprised to see how well he did at Bell's, because traditionally he's a powerful surfer, but that seems to do best when the waves are smaller. And it's sort of a weird thing.
Hmm.
Like, for example, I mean, he's from Chopu and never does well there, although that's a barrel. You know, it's not, turns aren't going to be rewarded. But he's had his success at places like Trestles in Brazil.
Yeah.
It's just weird. And I think it's because he can make his turns look so powerful even when the waves aren't. I think that power served him well here, but
Is he going to serve him well at the next contest? Because he did do well last year at Margaret River.
It's true.
I'm thinking about putting him on.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just looking at my team right now for Margaret's River, and I'm rethinking everything. Like, and it really does all come down to the forecast, but I'm thinking I might hedge my bets by keeping Gabrielle, maybe drop Wilco.
Yeah, Gabrielle was an interesting question mark for my team too, actually, and I feel like I'm going to keep him.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, even my 1,500 guy, I think I'm going to drop Stu. But, I mean, Jay Davies, yeah, assuming he's there, I mean, I'm thinking I'm dropping him based on people that I don't even know if they're in the contest. So it's going to be an interesting week. Can I end on a negative note?
Yeah. Are we wrapping up? I'm trying to think if we got through all the things we wanted to say.
Here, I think let me we get did. This. You I think, think and I just want to take a minute to say, Peter Mel, the time has come for you to gracefully step away. You're just not good, man.
Yeah.
It's from the most awkward nerves. Promo I've ever seen. At the very first day of the contest, when he was trying to get kids to be excited about those jerseys that the WSL is saying,
that was fun. He's like, because he was mocking them at the end, like, come on, get excited.
He was like a petulant dad.
Sorry, guys, these kids are duds over here. This is a jersey. You should like be grateful. You know.
I know, man. He just doesn't have it. He's a hell man of a surfer.
I completely agree that he's the weakest link on that whole commentary.
Yeah, I just think, with the other people they've had in the booth this year, it's just showing them out. I mean, they can do better. WSL, keep him. He can be the commissioner of the Big Wave World Tour. That's fine. Although I don't know how long that'll be around for. But just keep him off the camera. I'm sorry, Pete. But you gotta go.
Well, what I noticed too is that when he finishes saying something, you can see that he's become wound up just by talking, and then his eyes sort of shift down to the desk, and he doesn't know what to do with himself after he's finished talking.
It's super uncomfortable.
The guy can't have a conversation.
No.
It's weird.
No.
Well, let me just whip through the team then, okay? Because, I'm going to keep Connor Coffin. You keeping him?
Keeping Connor, definitely.
Okay. So I've got Adriano, keeping him. And I'm going to keep Gabrielle, partially because I think that, he's not a high pick. I mean, he's higher than a lot of people, but a lot of people don't have him. And because Price isn't, he's expensive, but because Price isn't an issue because of so many of the good guys are cheap, then I'm not, I might have fretted about that more in the past. Like, oh man, Gabrielle, he's hit and miss right now and he's so expensive. But because money isn't as much of an issue.
And in the past, if your big money guy lost, you were like, oh no, because my low money guy is the best I can hope for is they might squeak into round four. But now a low guy might win it.
That's
like,
right.
It's almost like the money doesn't matter anymore. I think if you could free yourself of the values completely and just pick a team, it might be the
can
best way to do it.
That'd be a weird thought experiment, eh?
I mean,
you should do that. Take all the prices off and be like, okay, which eight guys would I put on here? And then just see if it even adds up.
It'll be interesting to see after this contest. We should look. I mean, that's a habit of high achievers that you should look at. See how much money was left on the table by, say, the top 10 in the next contest.
Well, I've done that before. And there was one case where a guy left $2 million.
Yeah.
He left $2 million on the table.
I could see someone win this contest with $5, $6 million on the table. I'm not even
you're talking crazy.
Man, if it looks like it's going to be 2 days at the box, you could easily pick.
So will they have specialists then? Is that going to happen too?
What I'm talking about.
Is there a contest running right now to decide who's going to be in? Or?
I don't think the trials have ran yet. I think they'll run later this week. I think there'll be a trials and then there'll be a sponsor wall. Yeah. Oh, no, there is no sponsor. So, both people will come from the trials.
Okay.
And then I think the WSL picks one. But you could have a scenario where you could easily pick three 1,500 guys.
Yeah. Well, what's funny, too, that in that last contest you were talking about, when you lose your high-priced guy and you're like, oh, man, now I've got to rely on these other junk guys. In that last contest, not Bells. What was it? I'm already forgetting.
Snapper.
I was like, well, if Kanoa Igarashi wins this, I'll still be okay.
Hey, Kanoa did all right at Bells. He didn't get that far, but he surfed better than I thought he would.
Yeah, but he surfed better at the first contest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but he did.
I felt good about losing him.
Yeah, no, I thought he was going to be, I just remember seeing his heat now, and I don't even remember round he made it to.
I thought he was going to be overwhelmed by the I'd put him back on my team at other events. Like, I won't put him on here, maybe. But
I think he'll be on my team and come Brazil, maybe.
Yeah, interesting.
Getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
Who else you got?
Yeah, then Matt, and I think I will leave Matt on. And yeah, so basically, I'll go through it quick because Connor's on, Adriano's on, Medina's on, Wilco's on, and so then I got three to choose after that. I may lose Italo, Sebastian Zietz, I'll lose him. And then, you know, who am I going to put on? Yeah, the big question there is Jack Freestone. 55%, I think, percent of players picked him for the snapper event, which makes you think that a lot of people are going to pick him again come up.
Yeah, I wouldn't even think about it, man. He's just...
Isn't he? But he's like, he's a Charger, right? Like, isn't the box kind of where he could do really well?
No, I don't... He's not a Charger.
No?
No.
I thought that was like his whole thing. I thought he was kind of like a new John kind of deal with Jack Freestone.
I don't know. No, he's like, if he was going to do any good anywhere, he should have done well at snapper, man. Okay. Like, that's the type of wave he excels in, like a stylish point break. He's also a good aerialist. I could see him getting a result in some beach break. But I don't know, man. I just don't think he has the mind for it.
Okay. And then the other, the big question mark that I'm still deciding, like, that's the thing. Maybe I would put Jordy Smith on now. I don't know. I don't think so. And then the other big one, too, is John, you know, and yeah. Like.
But that's the thing. If you don't put Jordy and John, like, that's what I'm talking about, leaving money on the table. Like, with Mick out, if you already have Adriano.
It's true, because those are
like,
actually.
They're, like, the highest valued guys.
Is, you know what? It's weird, actually. You're right.
It's like Italo Ferreira, John, and Jordy.
There's only one player that's above 10 mil, and it's everybody crazy. Else is below.
Yeah.
But anyway, so are you going to put John on or not, Ken?
Right now, I got John, Adriano's on, Gabriel's on, Jordy's on. I still have Wilco. I'm not sure about that. I got Kyle Belly.
I'm going to keep Wilco. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm keeping Wilco.
You're keeping him, eh? Yeah. Well, maybe I'll get rid of him just to differentiate myself from the number of people that pick him.
And the thing, too, is...
But I don't know who else I'd put on there, too. Yeah. That's the other thing. Like,
what
it's
about,
crazy.
Oh, by the way, what about Alejo Muñez? Right? He's good.
He is. I mean, I'm just not... I don't know, man. There's so many exciting new people... That I can't.
Who,
I feel
Ribeiro?
Like that's like a decision
Ribeiro,
I'd make
You'd
3 years
on?
Ago.
Ribeiro. Well, who?
No.
So who? Which?
Well,
new
I mean,
guys?
I already got my new exciting guys.
Who's
like
your
I
new
got Connor.
Guy?
I got Kaio, who
okay.
in my mind are like the new exciting
right.
up and comers. I mean, Mason Ho, if he's back in the conversation. Jay Davies, if he's in there, you know, I'm making that assumption. Jack Robinson, if he's in there.
It's so crazy. I had to put, like, you're right. You could put a team, like a fairly good team together.
I came to this realization last night when I was doing my first draft of my team, and it's like no. lineup I've ever picked from it's at least 6 years I've been playing this, and I've never seen a field like this.
All right, well, listen, good luck to you, man. We got to sign off. Send us an email. We're at surffantasy@gmail.com.
yeah.
You can check out my team's progress. Nova Scotia Surfer is my handle, Ken.
Yeah, my handle is just Ken McIntosh, all one word. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, you know, make sure you subscribe. Rate us if you can. More people will find us. I'm happy there's a, you know, we're starting to get a bit of a following, and we just want to keep doing it. So
right on. Good luck, everybody.
Peace out.
With 20 seconds to go, we will celebrate this ride from Matt Wilkinson, world number one on top of the Jeep leaderboard, and now making it official with some big backhand blows. We'll close this one out right on the buzzer. And Matt Wilkinson is your 2016 Rip Curl Pro Bells Beach champion. Back-to-back wins to start off the year on the Samsung Galaxy Championship Tour.